Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we talk about advanced blood work, why you should consider it, and how the perfect workout is making it easier than ever. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome back, everybody, to episode something. And Jim, how are you?
I feel superlative.
Yeah.
The next episode is what it is.
Life's good.
See, it's not tough being me. I got to tell you that.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So today we're going to talk about advanced blood work. We talked early in some of the beginning episodes about strength training affords a whole lot more than just muscle and strength. And so we got a little bit into some of those things, like I think you touched on brain health and things like that. At the Perfect Workout, we actually have the ability to track blood work. So why don't you talk about blood work and what is advanced blood work?
So first, why blood work is even desirable. There are certain metrics when you measure the amounts of something in somebody's blood that can provide meaning for you. It means something when your vitamin D is above 60. It means something when your highly sensitive C-reactive protein is above 1. It means these things. And so it's a snapshot in time, which is why it's important to get it done at the same time during the day, because most of the things you're measuring are pulsatile, like all the hormones. It's not one level all day, it's pulsatile. So you can get a very clear picture of your health, and especially as you do serial measurements, you can see trends that are meaningful as windows about your health. Now, when people go to their once yearly physical and they do blood work, it's like 10 things. It's like a Chem 20 panel. You might do not even the full lipid panel. It's just total cholesterol, like, and that's it. And then they wouldn't measure any of those things I just mentioned. It's like, we're going to check your thyroid, but instead of doing T3, reverse T3, T4 for the conversion in the liver, thyroid stimulating hormone, the TSH, they don't do any of that. They're just, here's your T3. That's your thyroid. And so it's this very remedial, zoomed out, non-detailed look at your health, but it's meaningless because this number could be high, but it's okay because of things that we're unaware of. This could mean that, but you need more information to give a context, because a high vitamin D in certain contexts means different things than in other contexts. Same thing with cholesterol. Yeah, I have this, but what was it before? How much of that is HDL and LDL and ApoB, and there's all this, the low density and high density. So the advanced blood work clarifies the picture. We go from blurry and pixelated to 4K. So the context is given, and then the values are more meaningful. So advanced blood work has the entire thyroid panel, an entire lipid panel, 7 or 8 things. It has, like the normal ones, be just your testosterone, and that's it. But now you have your testosterone, your albumin, your sex hormone binding globulin, your free testosterone, all the aromatization agents we're measuring. This gives you a deep, deep dive into your checkup, in other words. And so that's why the advanced blood work is a prerequisite for knowing where you are. It's like when you type something into Google Maps, the first thing it does, it identifies where you are. Everybody who comes into the Perfect Workout, they have somewhere they want to go. They have like a ship doesn't even leave the harbor if you don't put in a destination first. So how are you going to find out where you are? Well, you could measure your weight and your body composition, like through the Prism scans and the app. And then this is a wonderful way to see inside the body of what's actually going on in there. And then 6 months, 9 months, 12 months later, we get, that's kind of a feather in our cap. We say, we helped you increase your testosterone by this much and your free testosterone by this much. And we upped this and we reduced that and all that sort of stuff. So the advanced blood work is really the only legitimate way to produce meaningful blood work.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few things you said there. One, we've talked about a lot early on, is if you're not tracking something, you have no idea, right? So just the old school principle of let's measure what matters. The benefit there is across the gamut. One, like you just said, you're able to see the improvements you've made over time. And that's just simply motivating, which matters to adherence. We talked about that a lot in a prior episode. The second thing is that it's just biofeedback. You're getting feedback on some of these things you might be doing to improve certain elements of your biology. And is it doing that? And if not, it's kind of like the last episode we talked about supplementation.
Right.
We can target more specific and get more specificity in these different areas of recovery and in the supplementation if we just know what's going on in the body. And then like you said, most blood work, just to recap this here, it doesn't cover anywhere near the amount that you need to have appropriate context. So I don't remember what episode it was. I was talking about the work I've done with functional medicine doctors.
Right.
They do these massive panels. Instead of 10, it's 66 or 140.
Yeah.
Because it tells a story. The interaction between these things, the interaction between iron and some of these other elements are actually what matters the most. So we just believe it's really important to understand what's going on with your blood work, to understand what's going on with your blood work, because you got enough of those right ratios that can tell that story. And then another thing, let's talk about reference ranges. You kind of mentioned this.
Yeah. So the reference ranges, the astute observer will notice that the reference ranges have changed decade by decade by decade by decade. In the 70s, when it was first decided that cholesterol, it's again that simplification thing, cholesterol bad. That was the message.
Right.
And so we're going to test cholesterol in the blood for the first time. It'd never been tried. And so they're going to test cholesterol in the blood and like, what's normal? I don't know. 300. And then they were able to sell some statins based on that. That was pretty cool. They go, what if we put it to like 270? So now the top of the range is 270. We could sell some more statins. What if it's dangerous to be 250? Yeah, we're selling even more now. And so these change for two reasons. One is an incentive, a financial incentive like that to sell a pharmaceutical. But the other one is, you know how we're all less healthy than our grandparents?
Right.
Well, just because something is average when you measure everybody doesn't mean that's normal. It's not normal to be 300 pounds. It's not normal to have blood sugar above 200 every time you eat. It's not normal to have your fasting insulin over 30. These things are average if you look around because we're all unhealthy, but the reference ranges are not what's optimal for a human. The reference ranges are just this sinking ship you're all on. This is the water level for all of you.
Right.
So it's like, this is the reference range for this thoroughly unhealthy population. That doesn't mean that's something to which to aspire. I need to get in the reference range compared to them. No. There should be reference ranges that are more targeted, that are like, what's the optimal human reference range? It should probably be based on, our great grandparents or something.
Yeah, that's another good example. Testosterone, I think it's, and I'll butcher this, but it's dropped something like 1% in men every year since 1980.
Yep.
So the reference range is the lowest part of that range in the 70s was like 600. And now we're down to 300 and something.
Right.
And we're all looking around at each other going, we're less healthy than we used to be. So what are the normal ranges in people today? Cool. That's great.
Yeah. Be sure not to get above 800-900 though. It's like, well, wait a minute.
the high end.
Not how it should work. You know, it should be, why would you change the standards? If it's low, it's low. Like, but the reason they change the standards, there's financial incentive, but there's also, if 9 out of 10 dudes who get tested are below the standard, well, of what use is the reference range then?
Mm-hmm.
It's just aspirational? No. We should move the standards, which is bizarre. Imagine you take a building design from 100 years ago, and it has inches, and it has feet, and it has measurements, right? And that's the yard, literally the yardstick. And it's a standard against which you measure. Now, imagine if the length of a foot changed year over year, and 1 foot kept getting bigger and bigger, you'd go to some old blueprint and you go try to build something. There's no way. The length of a foot changes day by day. I go to Lowe's on Monday, Lowe's on Friday. I order this many feet, a 2x4. I get different things every time because there's no standard. That's what we're doing with the reference ranges. They're changing the reference ranges year by year. So what is healthy? Who knows? And how would you know? So on the one hand, we have a pretty good idea of what it is, but most importantly, it's your context and tracking it like in the app where they track the over time, is it, what's the trend? And what's the context of the trend? And there's different ratios as well, like a pure HDL. What's good HDL? Well, I don't know. What's your triglycerides? So there's a ratio there that is meaningful. So one thing in isolation, less meaningful. And so, but if you're changing the reference ranges all the time, it's tough to build a house.
Yeah. So you need a really good program. There are some great programs out there right now. I'll mention a few by name. Inside Tracker is one of them. Function Health is another great one. There are quite a few more out there. We've partnered with Inside Tracker mostly because the features that they have in their app, the accessibility that they have. Yeah. And they not only have reference ranges, but they have optimal ranges, which is really based on science. Same with Function Health. And we're just able to offer our members better pricing on Inside Tracker, which is another reason we've gone with them.
Yeah.
So yeah, you want to find a good program that can do this stuff. You want to find one that can articulate those ratios to you, so you're not having to get some scientist or a doctor to explain this stuff. You want to get one that shows those optimal reference ranges. I can get a little bit into my experience with it. Well, let me just say how we use that now. We'll talk in a future episode on more deeply on body composition and some of those habits that we've talked about in the past, like movement and some of the stuff that we track inside our phone application, like your sleep and things.
Yeah.
But blood work, the way that we use blood work is not only just to make sure you have access to really good and affordable blood work, that we can bring it into the ecosystem. One of the problems with fitness and healthcare right now is you go to this person for this, this person for this, this person for this, they're not talking. So your nutritionist's like, you shouldn't work out that way. And then the doctor's like, you shouldn't eat that way. And then the trainer's like, you shouldn't go to that doctor. And everybody's saying different things when they just don't have a picture of your health. So we're trying to bring those things together so that you can make wise decisions. At the same time, our app offers some really cool features too. So for example, if somebody comes in and their vitamin D is low or their B12 is too low or something like that, we can do custom meal plans and recipes that help optimize those things naturally or decrease those things naturally. So we can actually put some specificity into our PeakWell program and recovery program. Same with the supplementation piece. We can make sound recommendations. We don't prescribe anything based off what's going with your blood work. And then we also get to enjoy seeing those trends over time because of the impact of what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's like when you have it all in-house and it's all where they're not against each other, they're with each other. And so you have low vitamin D, but it's winter and you can't get out in the sun. We need to get that level up. And the PeakWell team would then know that because of your Inside Tracker data, and you'd be able to see it all in the app. And then you're taking vitamin D, the 10,000, the 20,000 IU a day or whatever seems reasonable. And then 3 months later, another round of blood work, and you could see that moving in the right direction, and then flip to a different tab in the app and see your strength increases. And then you can go to the Prism scans and you could see your body composition. And then you go to the PeakWell and you could see your meal plans. And it's all in this, what, like, yes, it's working. I can see that it's working. And I have further instructions based on the progress that I've made that I can see in the app. So it's just super valuable to have that all in the same place on the same dashboard.
Yeah. So what would be the optimal recommendation? And let me first tee up, like, here's a few things you might look out for. One of them, Ben is our producer. I don't know why I said Ben. He's right behind me right now.
He's behind
Jim, that guy. Jim, you already mentioned, is that you need to be consistent when you take these. Most recommendations are to get your blood drawn, especially if you're a male, early in the day. Actually, females too. Same time every morning, specifically because of the hormones, like testosterone. I took testosterone one time. I took a blood test one time, and my testosterone was like 70. I kid you not. And the functional medicine doctor I was working with called me, and she's like, well, I don't know what's going on, but what, my God, like, we should do something.
Yeah.
And she's like, what, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. I just did a huge workout at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I went and got my blood drawn. She's like, never mind. Go back and draw your blood at like 9 a.m. because of that peak that you're talking about there. There are some other things, you know, that aren't dead obvious. If you go and get your blood drawn right after you've done a big workout, and when I say after our workout because of that potency, I mean like within 2 to 3 days, you might have some elevated liver enzymes like ALT, AST. I've tested this. I've done a workout within 2 to 3 days many times. Those are always elevated.
Right.
I've not worked out for 5 days. They're not elevated. Really good physicians will just say, we don't worry about that because I know how you're strength training. It's like athlete syndrome, so to speak.
Yep.
So I'm not going to say ignore it, but just be aware of some of these things, because if you come in and your hormones are low or your liver enzymes are spiked and you go talk to a physician and they don't have a full comprehensive picture of what you're doing in your life, they might make recommendations that are just not going to be useful.
Yeah, and they don't know about your strength training. They don't know your progress over the last 2 months and the different protocols and programs that you're on. So in this way, the people doing the analysis of your blood work will be fully aware of the type of workout that you're doing, how often you're doing it, and all the other context that's needed to make sense of the blood work, and especially the standardizability of the that's important. So like you said, draw the blood. You do it at 9 a.m. the one time. 3 months later, when it's time, make sure it's at 9 a.m. And you were fasted before when you did it, so definitely be fasted. Try to keep everything same, so that it's apples to apples. Mm-hmm. So that when you do have a rise in this, that, or the other, you know that it's not just, I did a workout yesterday.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, I did have a little bit of breakfast and coffee and stuff. Like, same, same. And that becomes very easy when everyone's aware of every other moving part.
Yeah, I agree. So let's wrap this up. I think we'll wrap it up with just kind of some broad stroke recommendations that'll include advanced blood work, but it'll also include some things we've talked about in the past. When people say, well, okay, guys, how often should I do this? And it is specific to your goals. A lot of it's specific to your age. Like, you know, if we have somebody that's in here that's 21 years old, we might not recommend doing blood work as often as somebody that is older that has more specific things they're trying to improve on. But I think roughly, we talked about in prior episodes, and you mentioned today, even our prism scans. So
yeah,
we'll go deeper on that in a future episode, how we measure body comp using this awesome technology.
It's so cool.
But there's some broad stroke recommendations. So for most people, I like to say a advanced blood work panel every quarter to twice a year. At minimum for me, it's twice a year.
Yeah.
Again, if you're on that younger spectrum, maybe one time a year. DEXA scans, even though we do the prism scans, I think if you're older and you're wanting to, and you need to monitor your bone density, we would recommend a DEXA scan once a year. And that's good because DEXA scans are getting cheaper. Advanced blood work is getting cheaper, but they still cost a lot more than doing a prism scan, for example, once a week, which is near free. So anyways, that would be our recommendation on timing when it comes to advanced blood work and even the DEXA piece. And we'll get into some of these other ones like prism scans in the future.
I love it.
Yeah, man.
Future episode.
Show us your blood work.
Show us your blood work, bruh.
Cool. See you soon.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.